It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ryan Hughley's out. Brandon Scott is in. B-Skeezy's in the house. We got a little news on the Kyle Tucker front. Look, I know it's difficult to take injury news or injury reporting reports, however you want to couch it, from the Astros and anybody that's associated with the Astros, whether it's the general manager or the manager or hell, the players for that matter. It's hard to put any stock in what they say. But this is Dana Brown doubling down. Dana Brown said a week or so ago, maybe it was 2 weeks, I don't know. He said that on the Kyle Tucker front, sometime in September, and then he said, well, first week of September. And he said it pretty matter-of-factly. All right? And so do you put stock in it? I don't know. But here Dana Brown is doubling down on the first week of September. Dana Brown was on the Astros flagship station and said Kyle Tucker could potentially play on Wednesday or Thursday in Cincinnati. Which would obviously be the first week of September. Dana Brown has consistently said that over 2 to 3 weeks. And the videos that we've seen of late with Kyle Tucker running bases, running the outfield, whatever, it all seems like we're trending in a direction, B. Scott, where we are really, really close. So I'm going to lean into this Dana Brown double down a little bit more than I have the other stuff.
And I'll add to that, on top of all of it, Clint, we get the report from Chandler Rome today citing a few sources that we're now revealing that Kyle Tucker suffered a fracture to his shin with this injury. So I think it all comes together. The way that Dana Brown has been talking, and the fact that sources, like, I don't think that these are people that Chandler Rome just met. I'm not going to try to reveal his sources or anything or pretend like I know. But Chandler Rome's been around the team for long enough to where wherever he got this information, I feel like it's from people who he already knew and who already had said information. The fact that they're giving it to him now, to me, says, okay, Kyle Tucker is on his way back. They didn't want to say before that Kyle Tucker suffered this fracture because that would make it a lot clearer that he wasn't on his way back anytime soon. That would probably give us a better sense for what the timeline actually looked like if you tell us openly and transparently that dude has a fractured shin. But now that he's on his way back, you can kind of just say after the fact, yeah, it was a fractured shin. What difference does it make now? He'll be back in a couple of days. But to me, the timing of all of that, the way Dana Brown is talking and the fact that sources or talking to Chandler Rome about the nature of Kyle Tucker's injury tells me that dude is on his way back sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know it happens in all sports, so I'm not talking about Dana Brown or Joe Espada. But isn't it interesting the way that them cats can look dead in the camera day after day and just bold-faced lie? I mean, over something so, like you said, maybe they just didn't want to put it out there. Hell, maybe they didn't know. I don't know, but it's the slimy part of pro sports is just the constant, just look you in the face and bold face lie, whether it be about a report of an injury or what a guy's up to. It's wild. But this is clearly, I've known from jump. I've said it from jump. I've had literally, B. Scott, the bone bruise that I had, the doctor literally said it's a fracture of the tibia. It's a tibia plateau fracture, I believe is what it was. No, don't quote me on that. But like he said, it's just the deepest bone bruise that you can have. And so we classified as a fracture. And I missed a week of practice. I missed one game. I was back at practice. And I mean, it's one of those where you just, I don't even remember if I missed a game. The swelling was ridiculous. But I damn sure didn't miss 2.5 months.
Yeah.
And so I look at it, I'm like, man, there ain't no way in hell. So I really, the Chandler Rome report about the fractured leg, I just appreciate it because now I can at least feel good about the feelings that I had towards folks that wanted to keep leaning into some shin bruise at this thing that was causing this issue.
Yeah, as far as them being dishonest with the injury reports, we understand their interests are not our interests, and that's fine. Sometimes the interests conflict. We want the truth, and for whatever reasons, they feel motivated not to give it. But it is curious and odd to do it in baseball, Clint. It's not football. It's not even basketball where knowledge of an injury or details of an injury could be a competitive advantage for the other team because they can lean on it or try to find a way to exploit it. To me, it's not a whole lot of ways to do that in baseball. And let's say a guy's got an injured arm or elbow or shoulder and you're going to test his arm or something like that. But for the most part, it's not that kind of physical of a game where you can exploit an injury. Either Kyle Tucker can play or he can't. And that's that. So why it is that they operate this way, I don't quite understand, but it is finally good to be in a spot where it seems like he's on his way back.
Absolutely. Another thing that Dana Brown, general manager of the Astros, said that made a little news here. We've had the conversation about what happens when they have to pare down the start and rotation for the playoffs, which outside of the, you know, if the wild card game stacked on top of a first series, you potentially could need five starters there. But really, once you get into the playoffs, the way the Astros are playing, hell, you're going to get into the playoffs and not get strained too tough initially. But anyway, paring down the rotation, Dana Brown said that if anybody, Ronel Blanco is the most likely candidate to go to the bullpen when the Houston when the Astros go back to a five-man rotation in the coming days. Two layers there. Number one, not surprised that Ronel Blanco would be the guy that would move down, given his track record, resume, you know, the ability to come out of the pen is obviously there. That, and then the other thing is, I wonder why they would want to go back to a five-man rotation in the coming days.
Yeah, well, I think for a couple of reasons. For one, Justin Verlander has always been pretty open about being most comfortable with the five-man rotation setup and schedule. And I feel like if there's anybody you want to keep as comfortable as possible, aside from the fact that Justin Verlander got chased from this game today and has not looked as sharp as you'd like for him to look in the three starts since he's come back, but you do want Verlander to be as comfortable as possible. And I think for the most part, all of the guys that are used to being starters are used to having five-man rotations. So you want to have them, I feel like, as close to their regular regimen as you possibly can. But they do have some decisions to make because we mentioned Verlander and the fact that he was chased out of this game today, gave up the, I don't know if that fifth run was on him or not, but certainly was out of there in the fifth inning once he gave up three singles in a row.
It was on him. He gave up five earned.
Yeah, so that's three singles in a row to give it up. Two outs, by the way. So to watch that inning collapse the way it did and to see Verlander be as shaky as he has these last couple of starts or these last few outings definitely makes you wonder, what are the Astros thinking about not just the five-man rotation, but what is the order of that?
Yeah.
What is the hierarchy once, as you like to say, the rubber meets the road come postseason time?
Yeah. So Dana Brown, a couple of topics there. Just Kyle Tucker we could see in the Cincinnati series, which, by the way, I've never seen this, but there's a day off in the middle of this series. The Astros play today, and then there's a day off, and then they play game two and game three of the Cincinnati series. So that's where, when I said Wednesday and Thursday, that is accurate. It's not a four-game series, but Kyle Tucker could play Wednesday or Thursday. So a little bit of a nuance there. The Chandler Rome report of the fractured leg is makes sense why it took him 2.5 months to get back. And Ronel Blanco would be the candidate to move back to the bullpen in the coming days if and when the Astros do decide to go back to that. So always appreciate Dana Brown talking to the media.
Yeah.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, quick Astros update right now. A couple things interesting with the starting lineup. No Alex Bregman. He gets the day off. And then Jake Meyers. Jake Meyers is on paternity leave, so they recall Chaz McCormick to the big leagues, and he starts in center field and gets a – was it a ground rule double or just a double? I think it was a ground rule double. In his first at bat. So he's swinging it well. Hadn't paid much mind to what he's done since. But the Astros are down right now 5-2. I believe they're going into the bottom of the sixth inning. JV is he pitched 4 2/3 innings, 5 earned runs were all his, 3 strikeouts, 107 pitches. So the pitch count, the stretching the arm out, you know, that's there. But as we watched it throughout the show, they first pitched at 3:10. So we've seen the majority of this, or hell, we've seen all this game. He just didn't have the command. He didn't have the command of the fastball, didn't have the command of the off-speed stuff, and he struggled in the zone. So he actually lasted a little longer than I thought he was going to last, to be completely honest with you. I thought he was going to get ran up out of there in 3 or 4 innings, but he damn near made it to 5. So well, I mean, rough outing for JV.
Clint, when you walk the first 3 guys like that, that is very, very poor foreshadowing. You are foreshadowing a disaster, honestly. Surprised he lasted as long as he did. Not just that, surprised that it wasn't as much of a disaster as it could have been, because they go back and get those 2 runs back, right? Yeah. So, okay, so the game is still a game at that point, and then again it unravels there in the 5th. So, Verlander, huge question mark. You mentioned, I wanted just real quick, because you mentioned Alex Bregman. That's one, honestly, Clint, that's got me a little nervous. That's worrying me a little bit. Now, Alex Bregman, maybe it's a case of the elbow is not good, but he can go out there and he can hit for you, and that ends up being your DH situation. But the fact that this elbow thing is lingering the way it is, the fact that they had Mauricio Dubon out there starting for him today, and then they pinch hit for Dubon, pinch run for Caratini after that, it's like they're trying to figure out what to do with third base, with that spot in the lineup, kind of a hole in the lineup without having Bregman there. I understand Bregman hasn't been necessarily great offensively this year, but Bregman being dinged up, injured, his elbow being an issue is something that I'm continuing to monitor for the rest of the season.
Absolutely, as well you should. I think we all are. B. Scott, a little uncomfortable with that one, so we'll see. But it's interesting the way they handle it. The way they've handled it, where 5 days off, just hit, all of a sudden now he plays in the field for 3-4 games, and then all of a sudden he's out.
But Clint, he's saying that even hitting is making his elbow a little sore, which is not what we anticipated. We thought, oh, okay, so can't throw from third because the elbow hurts or whatever it is. Now it's even hitting makes it a little sore, and there's some swelling. It's just not a good feeling.
But that's the question. How do you know, right? Not you, I'm saying them. He's been playing in the field. So how do we know that the playing in the field and hitting ain't the cause of whatever the soreness is? So it's just been interesting the way it's been handled. We'll keep an eye on that, and hopefully he's able to fight through it at least to the end of the season before he surgically repairs or whatever, rehabs, whatever he needs to do with that elbow. The 2 runs the Astros do have came on a Yiner Diaz 2-run bases loaded single in the 3rd. So he's still swinging it well. RBI machine he is. One of the more fascinating things with the Astros, to be honest with you, he was a wild swinger that was bringing power that did not get quality at bats. And I would imagine pitchers felt like if they just executed their pitches, they would. He was a fairly easy out last year. And this year he has lost a ton of the power. But just hitting for average, and, man, he is clutch.
Yeah, very, very early on in the season, too, it felt like there was some carryover on what you're talking about or what his issue was last year, Diaz, very, very early on. But basically, since May or somewhere around about that time, it's been very impressive from him, and it kind of just reinforces what a lot of people thought, and that's that Yiner Diaz should have been your everyday catcher for a while now, so it's good to see that he is.
Yeah, it's wild to think him and Pena are both those guys they are such, but they get such better at bats this year than what they were the last year. You know what I mean? It was rough. So we'll Diaz is still swinging it well. We'll see if the Astros can put a rally together late in the next couple of innings and get this thing tied up or maybe take the lead. We'll keep y'all posted. No need to go anywhere else. Stay plugged in right here. We'll keep y'all posted.
5 o'clock fire.
Hey, we heard from D'Amico Rines a little bit earlier. In fact, everybody heard from D'Amico Rines in the last segment. If you didn't catch that, use the Audacy app, AUDACY. Go back, use that rewind feature and listen to that D'Amico Rines. It's game week. One thing that I think, there's several things he said that are interesting, but one of them that it wasn't necessarily what he said, more or less how he said it. When he was asked about Will Anderson, no update on Will Anderson, all our guys are ready to go kind of deal. I can't figure out where I'm at with Will Anderson. Missed the bulk of camp. I think there was a video that I saw last week once they kind of closed the gates a little bit. He was at least dressed out, but he didn't have his helmet with him. So I don't know what to think about Will Anderson at this point in time, man.
Yeah, so I'd be surprised at this point, Clint, if he didn't play. But I'm at the point of more so being concerned about how effective and or how limited he might be with this ankle injury. You know, it's kind of a lingering. He's dealt with an ankle before. And so it makes you wonder. And then the fact that it's kept him out of action for as long as it has here in the, you know, camp, preseason, practice, however you want to look at this time leading up to the first game. I'd be surprised if Will Anderson is not out there on week one or on Sunday. Will Anderson's birthday, too, by the way. So happy birthday to Will Anderson. The Texans posted that about an hour ago. So good for him. I'm hoping that 6 days from Will Anderson's birthday, he's out there ready to go and looking like Will Anderson. I got some concerns. Not that he's not going to be out there, but is he on a snap count? And is his explosion limited? That elite get off that he has at the snap, like is he that? Or is there some limitations there with the ankle? I am a little bit concerned, especially given who they're playing, Clint.
All right, we played D'Amico Rines a little bit earlier, and we got to react to it. There's a couple of pieces of audio in there, a couple of clips that we got pulled from D'Amico's time with the media earlier, and it's all about setting the table for the Indianapolis Colts. They got a couple of dudes on that offense that the Texans defense and D'Amico Rines are going to have their hands full. At least they had their hands full with them last year. Hopefully this year's a little different look, but we'll see. We'll bring that audio to you. You'll hear directly from D'Amico Rines again, and we'll cuss and discuss. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You play.
Ryan Ugly's out. Brandon Scott is in. B. Skeezy is in. That's the other voice you hear. Byron's behind the glass over there in for Tyler on this beautiful Labor Day. Hope everybody out there is having a good time. And it's Monday of game week, B. Scott. We got a game this week. We've made it through camp. We made it through preseason games that most people don't think mean much. I personally enjoy preseason games, unless it's preseason game four where, hell, the two deep. I mean, nobody in the two deep is playing damn near. Other than that, I enjoy the preseason. But anyway, the season is here. The Texans play the Indianapolis Colts at noon on Sunday.
Man, a couple of guys made the team off that preseason, I felt
Come on, ain't no doubt about
it. Preseason and the training camp, I thought. So it was very important. Ask Xavier Hutchinson what he think about the preseason. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
John Metchie.
British Brooks.
There you go. British Brooks.
Yeah, what he thinks about it. But I put this little thought together here about the challenges that the Texans defense they have on Sunday. And it's no secret. Look, Anthony Richardson, Jonathan Taylor are obviously, anybody that plays the Colts, you're going to know about them. But the challenge is interesting for the Houston Texans because you got Anthony Richardson, who in with a very small sample size last year was electric with his feet. And I'll be honest with you, I think he's electric with his arm. I know a lot of people will point back to they'll regurgitate or echo some of the accuracy issues. When you're young and your head's moving, your mind is moving 9,000 miles an hour, and you're not quite settled in yet, you're gonna throw inaccurate balls. I know CJ didn't, but most normal people do. Most normal quarterbacks do. So the Anthony Richardson thing is interesting. As we see it in Houston, Anthony Richardson had, although it was very, very quick, he had a lot of success in the first quarter against the Texans, which ultimately allowed the Colts to get a big lead on the Texans and keep that lead and end up winning 31-20. Right? Anthony Richardson had an 18-yard touchdown run. I believe he had a 15-yard touchdown run. He was impressive in that first quarter when he was playing. That's one threat that or one challenge that the Texans are going to have. The other one is Jonathan Taylor, who in the second Colts game last year, which is the one that most people remember more, the Texans led 14-6 at half. The Texans ended up winning 23-19. But Jonathan Taylor had 30 carries for 188 yards and a touchdown, B. Scott. Jonathan Taylor made this game close. He put the team on his back and ultimately gave them a chance to win it, gave them a chance to at least have an opportunity to win it. And they threw an incomplete pass on fourth down, turned the ball over on downs. The game was over.
Two, by the way, a running back.
Who was not named Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah. That is worth noting.
Yeah, really interesting, right? That decision was made. But nonetheless, you know, here we sit, and those are the two threats and the two challenges. And they're going to be challenges in their own right individually. Together, they're going to be an absolute monster. When I look at the Texans' defense, though, you're not going to stop both of them. In terms of Anthony Richardson being able to run it and throw it and be able to load the box and stop Jonathan Taylor, there's going to have to be some give there. I say that to say, B. Scott, if you could pick one or the other to have the success, or let me put it this way, if you could pick one or the other and say the Texans are going to go in with a plan and they're going to shut this part of this offense down, would it be Anthony Richardson or Jonathan Taylor?
Yeah, if I had to pick between the two of them, I would say Anthony Richardson, just because Jonathan Taylor has more of a reputation of being a dominant player in this league. We've seen him do it against the Texans, and we've seen him do it throughout his going on now 5-year NFL career. Like, for the most part, Jonathan Taylor has been one of the better running backs since said go, since he got to the league. Anthony Richardson is still trying to prove himself. Now, if you ask me a different question as far as which one would I rather, I wouldn't feel good if Jonathan Taylor is able to gash the Texans. And I think you and I are on the same page. That's not a good sign for this defense. If Jonathan Taylor is able to run all over them in this offensive line and it's looking something like the last week of last regular season looked, that's not a good thing. But if Anthony Richardson goes off, to me, that's a scarier thing. Because that means they've got the Jonathan Taylor element in their bag. They got that club in their bag. But, oh, by the way, apparently Anthony Richardson can play. I'm hoping that between the two of them that it is Jonathan Taylor that's the better player of them. Because if Anthony Richardson is anything close to what we think he could be, especially if Shane Steichen is able to unlock it based off of this dude's physical traits, that's an issue. That's an issue for the Texans and the AFC South. And that's an issue for probably AFC at large when you're talking about the quality of the Colts team and you add a dynamic quarterback to the mix. If that is the case, that's an issue. Jonathan Taylor being really good is somewhat predictable and borderline acceptable, even though we want to see the Texans defend the run a lot better than they did in the final week of the season last year.
I'm gonna go the opposite on this. Now I think Richardson did some things in scheme with legs last year that were obviously concerning. The same way in which Jonathan Taylor did things in scheme in week 18 that were concerning. But if I'm looking at like the weaknesses or the concerns for the Texans, to me it's that interior defensive line. If the Colts are able to line up and really ride Jonathan Taylor to either a tighter ball game than it should be or to a win, that's gonna concern me more, simply because I feel like right now, like I feel like the Texans wanted to address that interior defensive line differently this offseason.
Yeah, no question.
Like I feel like I know obviously with their guys that they can only say so much, but I feel like it's pretty, I think it's real to say, you know, they don't really know exactly how good they're gonna be on the inside. And if Jonathan Taylor goes in there and they run this thing downhill between the tackles, and that's how they're conservative on offense, they're a run-first football team, they protect their quarterback because they're able to run it. If they're able to keep it close and or win the game that way, I've got major concerns for the Texans at that point.
Yeah, and I think – I understand it, Clint, because it's born out of an existing concern that you already have, right? Like, I don't think we have the same concerns. I know for a fact we don't have the same concerns about the Texans' pass defense, both the secondary between – Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter, expecting them to perform, and even their pass rush.
Yeah.
You know, I know we talked about Will Anderson and not being sure what his ankle looks like right now, but let's just say Will Anderson is right, and Danielle Hunter, like, let me just say this right now, I think that's going to be a force mm-hmm. all year. Danielle Hunter, as long as he's healthy, he's going to be a true force for the Texans. I think we feel good about their pass rush and their overall pass defense between the pass rush and what they got at corner. Yeah. But we are all, I think, waiting to see what that interior defensive line looks like and how that run defense is looking. DeMeco even talked about this, tackling being an issue last year and needing to be better with that this year. It is an open question, honestly, Clint.
Well, it's just, like, if you really think about what the Colts want to do schematically, like, I mean, it's a lot more detailed and difficult than the way I'm going to put it, but – like, what they want to do is spread you out from sideline to sideline, right? Force you to it's not worried about like pushing the ball down the field. Now, I'm sure there'll be some play action stuff, push the ball in the field, whatever. But ultimately, what they want to do is they want to throw their screen game wide out to the sideline. They want to use their quarterback off the edges, and they want to use their running back, you know, downhill between the tackles. And so what that does is there's no stacking the line of scrimmage. Like, if you stack the line of scrimmage, then you can't defend sideline to sideline.
Yeah.
If you stack the line of scrimmage and you do defend sideline to sideline, now you've got the whole goal offensively is for them to create wider creases because you're stretching the defense sideline to sideline. And I just, like, I say all that to say, like, that Anthony Richardson's not going to struggle doing that.
Yeah, so it is why in this particular game, I am worried about not having guys like Christian Harris. You talk about sideline to sideline.
Yeah, me too, yes. Yeah,
so it'd be nice if Christian Harris's calf was not injured, but obviously it is. But this is where I'm at. Not having Christian Harris or DeNico Autry in this game, you talk about up the middle, DeNico Autry, somebody that they paid $20 million and $10 million guaranteed over 2 years. On top of already having Will Anderson and having paid or getting the opportunity to pay Danielle Hunter. And I know they signed DeNico Autry first. But the point is, that's an extra in/interior guy. Like, he plays inside and out.
Yeah.
And somebody who I think in an ideal world would be part of their game plan this week. DeNico Autry in the middle and factor in somewhere along their defensive line. And especially Christian Harris, the sideline factor that you're talking about, the last time we saw him play in a game, it was doing exactly that against Lamar Jackson in the playoffs, and I understand the Ravens won and all of that. And okay, but you don't have another guy that's like that. It's going to be hard for the Texans to replicate mm-hmm. what Christian Harris offers them, And I think what he offers them would be tremendously valuable in this game, defending exactly what you're talking about.
Hell yeah, it would. I mean, it's just if the Colts are really good at what they do, which there's really no reason to believe that they're not going to, because, again, it's easy to look at Anthony Richardson and talk about, oh, well, accuracy issues and this and that. But they're not going to – in a perfect world, like what their identity is and what they want to do, they're not going to ask their quarterback to do what C.J. Stroud does.
Yeah.
They're not going to ask their quarterback to throw wide side comebacks and put it on the button every damn time. That's not what they're asking a guy to do. And so I just say that to say that Anthony Richardson should play well. It's all about health for me. Anthony Richardson should play well enough with Shane Steichen on the ones and twos calling the plays and Jonathan Taylor being the runner in this offensive line. He should play well enough to where my point is yes, better be good.
Yeah. Yeah, no. The misnomer, though, with Anthony Richardson is that he's like an incapable passer.
I've shot that down as much as I could since he's in Florida.
But the thing is, and this is for the Texans to key in on, his misses can be really bad.
Sure.
And they can be really opportunistic for you as a defense. But he's absolutely capable of getting the ball downfield and hitting his spots at times. Like, he is capable. And so you take that on top of the fact that he's got that extra element, that added element that you can't coach, that you can't teach, and that you can scheme against and still be wrong because he's just better or can be.
Physically, you don't have the dudes. Like, they're going to spread you sideline to sideline. If you don't have D tackles that can hold up for four quarters, it's eventually going to – you're going to get exposed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just going to happen. Hell, they did it with freaking Hippie.
Yeah, they did it with Minshew.
They did it with Gardner Minshew. Yeah. I mean, what do you – I mean, it's like – so it's
– on his way to a Pro Bowl season.
Yeah, yeah, and no disrespect, but you're talking about a different animal than Anthony Richardson now.
You said Hippie, man. I
couldn't think
talking
of his name off the cuff, man. I don't know why, but Gardner Minshew's name always slips my
mind. That works, though. Hippie works. I called it up for you.
Them jorts and them hippies, they always comes back to Gardner Minshew. All right, C.J. Stroud, did he create a little bit of bulletin board material about a month or two ago? I guess it was more than that. Back at Super Bowl on Radio Row at Super Bowl. Did he create real bulletin board material, and what does that mean? And we got to circle back to this college football and talk about these Aggies. We hit the Longhorns for a bit, then we rushed through the Aggies. We got to get back to that Aggie conversation real quick. Notre Dame took down A&M in College Station this week, but I think it was a tight enough ball game where it's not going to hurt anybody long run, but the Aggies got to get right. We'll talk about all that next right here on Sports Radio 16. All right, Ron is out. Brandon Scott is in. It's been a solid afternoon on a beautiful Labor Day. Hope everybody out there staying safe, having a good time, making memories with your loved ones. Nick Caserio will be on Payne and Pendergast tomorrow morning at 7:30. That is the Texans general manager. Nick Caserio will be on Payne and Pendergast 7:30 in the morning. Set an alarm, set a reminder. That is always an extremely solid listen. And Thirsty Thursday, the drive will be live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Katy, Park Row location. Football Friday, we will be at East River 9 for that Football Friday. And as we mentioned earlier, I didn't even put two and two together. Man, we got Packers Eagles on Friday.
Yeah.
We got Ravens Chiefs on Thursday. So we got Thursday, Friday, then we got Saturday, obviously college, and then Sunday cranks up. So it's we'll start that, we'll crank that Thirsty Thursday up and kick off some big time run of football between pro NFL and college ball. So
and y'all
come
can
hang
lock
out
in,
with us.
Y'all can lock in and tap in on Thirsty Thursdays too, the full schedule. If you can't come out this week, if you want to plan it, if you're the type, and we're all mostly adults here, sometimes you got to plan far ahead, all the dates and locations. Check them out at Sports Radio 610. On the social media channels, Twitter, or I guess now known as X, Instagram, wherever it is that you be at. Find it and then, you know, make your plans out. Come break bread.
Absolutely. Come hang with us. We always have a good time. We like to party. I don't know if you've heard. Also, I tell you what, I was just telling B. Scott, boy, I'm spent, y'all. I had me a long day yesterday. Went to a really solid concert and had to get up and gather them girls up, them babies up and drive back home from the Hill Country. Big shout out to Landa Park up in the Hill Country, up in New Braunfels. Got my exercise, my workouts in. Look, they got some trails you can run and stuff out there. Beautiful.
Solid.
Beautiful scenery. Cypress Bend, public access. Folks are always asking me about when I go up there, you know, getting in the river, like what's the river access look like? And this time we actually went to a public access park in New Braunfels, which was Cypress Bend, and it was absolutely tremendous. The water was phenomenal. And as always, Huge shout out to Whitewater Amphitheater. Look, if you hadn't been to Whitewater Amphitheater to catch some music, you're missing out. If you like live music, we got one of the best amphitheaters in all of the states, right here in Houston's playground, if you will, known as New Braunfels, up near Canyon Lake. Whitewater Amphitheater. Went and saw one of our local guys, man. Went and saw Parker McCollum.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Parker, that's good. That's decent.
Yeah, man, Parker, absolutely.
Just you and the bride, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Just me and my lady, man. And Parker absolutely killed. He's a great musician, obviously, but he's such a solid dude.
Huge Texan fan too, by the way.
Yeah, from Conroe, Texas, man. But Turnpike Troubadours. I know there's a lot of fans out there. Turnpike Troubadours are there Friday and Saturday night at Whitewater Amphitheater this coming week. You can go do that and then get back in town in time to put your feet up and watch the Texans, or tailgate and watch the Texans, whatever you do at the house and the Texans are playing on the road. But Turnpike Troubadours are up there, and it's a hell of a show. So, hell, I'm thinking about maybe shooting up there, B. Scott. I don't think the wife is ready to leave them kids again, but I may gather the fellas and shoot up and catch Turnpike Troubadours.
You live once, my friend.
You only live once, I can rest when I'm dead, right? That's what they say.
There you go.
All right, the Texans do have a game this week, and we got to circle back to this. We'll circle back to this a couple of times. We'll circle back to this a couple of times. I would imagine over this next week. But when it happened, I said, "Yeah, C.J. Stroud absolutely created a little bulletin board material." There is no way on God's green earth that this happens, and it doesn't make its way to the locker room, the bulletin board, if you will, especially when you open the season against the Colts, right? This little back and forth between C.J. Stroud and Zaire Franklin, the linebacker for the Colts, it went on at Super Bowl, at Radio Row in Super Bowl. Here's Zaire Franklin, the Colts linebacker, kind of just setting the stage for kind of how it all went down. You tell me what you think.
But C.J., he didn't say a lot of wild stuff to me. I'm not going to lie to you. I love CJ, man. I support all our young brothers at quarterback, but CJ, he didn't say a lot of wild stuff to me in our run-ins, you know, at the Super Bowl. I need to see that boy again.
What'd he say?
We were talking and he was, you know, how the Super Bowl is at Radio Row, you know, it's big, all our stuff going on. So he had the XM radio right before me. He was on there talking about how he cooked the Colts in both games. And I saw him and I pulled him aside and I was like, you know, when you play Anthony, it was like 28-7 in like the second quarter. We were kind of blowing you out. Yeah, you threw for 300 yards, but
that's not a cooking. That's not a cooking.
Yeah, and he was like, bro, I ain't cook you. And I'm like, look, if that's what you consider a cooking with the loss, I mean, congratulations. And, you know, and then I have to remind him as well that he's never beaten Anthony.
Oh, I love this. You like, you're a psychological warfare guy.
I'm gonna tell you, B. Scott. I'm sitting here writing. I'm taking notes as he's talking. First of all, the tone doesn't seem like it's real friendly. I know we talked a little earlier about the friendly, and look, I got a tone problem myself. So as a man that is misinterpreted by those that he loves the most quite often, I understand the tone can be misleading. That doesn't sound like a tone to me. That's like, yeah, that's my dude. Ha ha ha. Now when I hear him and Michael Parsons talk, that sounds like, you know, ha, 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 funny, whatever, whatever.
It sounds like you mean what he's saying.
My man said, he's talking about CJ saying wild things. I need to see that boy again. I pulled him aside. You know, we're blowing y'all out when Anthony was playing. Congrats. I mean, it's just like, I don't know, man. Like, I'll tell you this. We can go back and forth about whether Zaire Franklin is being real or is he just tongue-in-cheek? Is it cool, just friendly trash talk? We can go back and forth on that, but there ain't no way in hell, I'm just going to tell you, there ain't no way in hell that the comments, whatever precisely CJ said, there's no way in hell it's not on the bulletin board in the Indianapolis Colts facility as we speak right now.
Man, honestly, Clint, I feel like it's twofold. I feel like this is bulletin board, the idea that CJ could present of him cooking the Indianapolis Colts defense. Clearly, Zaire Franklin on his end resenting that or disagreeing with that, but then also the reality of it. Like, he did at times cook them in that second game, really to start the game out, he cooked them. And then I think, you know, if you just look at the final result of the game, obviously the Texans won the game. So, yeah. So I think where he did and didn't cook them are both terms for bulletin board material, I think, for this Indianapolis Colts team. And then just a simple fact, this is going to sound simple, but I think this has something to do with it. Obviously, the Texans won that game, then they go off to play two more playoff games after that last regular season game, right? So they've played two real football games, one that they won, one that they lost, but two real football games since the last time the Texans and the Colts saw each other. The Indianapolis Colts, Zaire Franklin, they have not. Yeah. Like that, I don't understand the preseason. I'm not trying to
sour taste in their mouth, right?
Yeah, the sour taste in their mouth, and the last real live NFL impression they got was being basically knocked off the field, sent home by a play. Honestly, if they get that play, maybe the story is different. So in some ways, they got to feel like it's a self-inflicted wound on top of what CJ and the Texans were able to do to them, and then them feeling like, oh, Anthony Richardson, you haven't beat Anthony Richardson too. Now we got our guy back. I think it's twofold. I think you got bulletin board material on the one end, and I think you got this feeling of, let's call it, unfinished business on the other end, Clint. And I think that is going to come together for a really exciting matchup, on top of the fact of them being really good football teams.
Yeah, that'll be money. I love it. I just think that the bulletin board material stuff is typically blown out of proportion, but here I don't. I just there's something about a young dude that in big picture hasn't done much. And talking about CJ Stroud, just 1 year, and it was great, but it's just 1 year. That guy going in Radio Row talking any level of trash just seems to be, boy, take this rivalry to the next level, if you will. Before we get out of here, though, we got to talk about this A&M deal. We talked about Texas, the Manning, Quinn Ewers situation, and how it's kind of being painted. Like, everything involves Manning, even though he didn't play until they were up 31-0 or whatever it was. That's interesting in its own self. We'll talk about Texas enough, but A&M and Notre Dame. Notre Dame knocks off A&M at home in College Station. Marcus Freeman needed this more than anybody. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish needed this more than anybody. Now's the time for them if they're gonna continue as is.
Agreed.
I thought it was a great showing by them. I thought their defense played tremendous. I think their quarterback played well enough. He's gonna have to be better if they're gonna win big games, but I thought he played well enough. They ran it really well. But I think my big takeaway is not even that the Aggies lost. Like this game, either team could rebound from this loss. Like this doesn't kill the dreams of either team. But I watched that A&M game, and Connor Wegman is nowhere near where I thought he would be.
Yeah. No, I was expecting a lot more, and especially I thought he kind of settled in a little bit better as the game went on. But in that first half, Clint, I was trying to decide between the two quarterbacks. Neither one of them looked good enough, mm-hmm. but I was trying to decide which one was the one with all the hype.
Right.
If you look at him, like it was hard to decide which one was the one with all the hype, and you're expecting Connor Wegman to come in there and be like an elevator for this Aggie football team. It didn't feel like that was the case. I felt like the offense, because Connor Wegman wasn't good enough, was putting the defense in really tough binds and really tough predicaments, and they didn't necessarily handle it well at the end the way Notre Dame was able to run the ball down their throats. It's to me, it's not a good look right now for Connor Wegman to come out there and look like that in the week.
Well, there's a lot of it, right? Like I don't know if Notre Dame's just that good running the football physically, or if A&M's defense is going to get ran on. That's jury's still out for me. I look at the offense and I'm like, man, can these receivers create separation?
Now, Notre Dame does have a really good secondary.
Sure, yeah, right.
So I give them that, but you still need to see more.
Yeah. I mean, it's just there's several spots where it's like, I got to see more, and I don't know if that was a game to necessarily tell. The Connor Wegman thing is concerning, because that was not only bad. There were times in the background you could see receivers running almost like a busted coverage. And he wasn't finding them. I mean, it was just bad from Connor Wegman. And damn it, Connor, I got y'all picked to be my Cinderella. I'm going to need a little bit more out of you.
Meanwhile, Haynes King over there at Georgia Tech. Come on, man. Pulling off upsets.
Come on, man.
Come on.
That's it. All right. Happy Labor Day to everybody out there. Stay safe. We'll have old blonde, orange face Ron. We'll have him in the studio tomorrow.
I cannot wait for this. This is going to be
God
so good.
God willing. Until then. Houston, we love you, baby.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.